I didn't know it until I got here, and Brandon, I heard him say, "I'm going to teach on a parable," and I thought, oh boy. Then he went to Matthew 18. I said, thank you, Lord. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. I don't have it on.
Nah, I do. It's on. All right, Matthew chapter 25. And we'll begin our reading in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. In verses 22 and 23, the guy with 2 talents came and gave his account. The Lord repeated, well done. Verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, or with interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The title of my message is very simple. It's the parable of the talents. Now, there is another parable very comparable to this one called the parable of the pounds. But this is different from the parable of the pounds. But it's interesting where this is placed. This parable of the talents comes right after the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. Both teach valuable lessons as to how we are to live and how we are to prepare for the coming of the Lord and the day of accounting. The fact is, whether you're lost or saved, we must all stand before the Lord. We are all going to give an account. If you're saved, your accounting will be at the judgment seat of Christ. Not that that has nothing to do with your sins, it has to do with your service. If you're lost, your day of ultimate ultimate accounting is going to be at the great white throne of judgment, where your works and your life will be reviewed before you, and then you will be cast into the lake of fire, determining, he'll determine your measure of punishment, your level of punishment, if you will. So we're all going to have to give an account to God. Now, in the parable of the virgins, we're exhorted to be vigilant. We are exhorted to be watchful, to be prepared for the return of the bridegroom. And I read several commentaries, and people are all over the place on what that means, and I'm not going to get into it. I will say this. I don't think that the Lord has ever said this to a saved person, one of His sheep. In verse 12, "But He answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not." The Lord doesn't say that to a sheep. He knows a sheep. Amen. By name. And He calls them. So I personally believe that the five unprepared virgins that had no oil for their lamps are false professors who are going to be judged. Now, in the parable of the talents, we're exhorted to be diligent, to use the gifts and resources that the Lord has entrusted to us by faithfully working in His service. So the first one illustrates being watchful and prepared, the parable of the talents. While you're watching, you're to be diligent in your service, using what God has freely given you. Now, as we examine this parable, I want you to keep in mind these rhetorical questions. Ask yourself these questions. And then the way you answer these questions is going to determine in large part your spiritual condition. Have you really considered all the talents that God has freely given you and entrusted to you? Have you ever really thought about what you have? My next question, what are you doing with what the Lord has given you? Let's just go to the most basic. What are you doing with your ability to see, to hear, to understand, to comprehend? What are you doing with your ability to work, to serve, to bless, to encourage, to speak words that edify, build up, warn other people? What are you doing with the talents you have, with the resources you have, with the money and the wealth? God is the one that's given you the power to get wealth. What are you doing with the talents you've been entrusted with? Thirdly, are you eagerly anticipating the day that you'll have to give an accounting of how you used your talents? Now, most preachers preach this, that people ought to dread the day of accounting. Not if you're serving. Not if you're living for the Lord and walking with Him and abiding with Him, and you're trading on the talents that He's given you. You ought to look forward to His coming. You ought to look forward to the day when you hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, I understand that humility comes into this. I don't feel like I'm doing near enough what I ought to do, but I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord. The last question is, are you positively sure that you know the master. See, the guy that was given one talent, he didn't know the master like the other two did. He had a completely different idea of what that master was. Now today what I want to do is give an explanation of the parable of the talents. And I might get into also some practical things about capital and about work. Let's look at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now in this parable, the kingdom of heaven consists of true and false outward professors of Christianity. There have always been tares growing with the wheat. Always been true and false professors. And the Lord will separate and reveal the true from the false. The man in the parable who has all the capital, all the talents, the one who's in charge of distributing these gifts and talents and resources is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. God is the one that gives you the power to get wealth. I hope you understand that everything you have physically, temporally, spiritually, you owe it all to the one who sovereignly distributes the grace and talents as he sees fit. Now this long journey that he's gone on, this long time that he's going to be gone, is marked from when after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and after he had taught his disciples, and he gave them the Great Commission, Acts chapter 1 records that he ascended back up into heaven. He took a long journey. He came to earth to die in the stead of his people, to raise again, conquering death, hell, and the grave, and in order to secure the salvation of all that the Father gave him. That was his journey to earth the first time. He's now in heaven as our great high priest, interceding and awaiting the day when he comes again. Now verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Before the Lord ascended to heaven, before he went on that long journey, he gave talents. He had capital that he invested in these servants. In the parable, he gives you 3 different men. The first man, he gave 5 talents. The second man, he gave 2 talents. And the third man, he gave 1 talent. Each one according to his several ability. By the way, God knows exactly what you need and what to give you. And he is in charge of it all. It tickled me. One day we were driving, and I don't know what we were talking about, but Gavin said, "Wouldn't it be something if my last name was Trump?" And I thought, where does that come from? I said, "No need to worry. It's not." The fact of the matter is, you are where you are by the providence of God. He has entrusted you with certain talents, with certain resources. And you need to learn to be content and thankful with what God has given and where He has placed you. The fact is, God doesn't give everyone the same. We're all different. This is a practical thing that you better teach your children. There are no guarantees of outcomes, of equal outcomes in this life. Real life is everybody's different. Now, we're born as human beings with certain inalienable rights endowed from our Creator, just like the Declaration says, but the fact is, some have more, some have less. And that's reality. Comparatively speaking, I am wealthy compared to folks that have nothing in certain parts of Africa or in the Philippines, where in some communities they go out in the morning with what they earn, the money they earn the day before, and they buy their food for the day. See, we don't look at things the way God does. God is sovereign in the distribution of His grace and His talents, and for practical purposes. And Brandon did an excellent job explaining how much a talent was and all that. I'm going to get real basic. For practical purposes, we'll consider the talents that He's bestowed upon us as our gifts, our influence, our time, our money, our knowledge, our measure of health, our strength, our reason, our intellect, our memory, our affections, our resources. I could go on and on. Whether you realize it or not, you have been gifted and given so many talents. Warren Wiersbe suggested that the value of one talent was a year's wages. But the value of a talent was a measure of weight. A talent of gold would be worth far more than a talent of silver. But again, whatever you have, the Lord's been the one that's been pleased to give it to you. God has been pleased to give you certain talents that you are personally responsible and accountable to use for His glory and for the furtherance of His kingdom. Now, verse 16 through 18, I want to look at the reaction of the servants after the Lord gave them these talents. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Here you got the reaction of the 3 servants, what they did with their talents. Now, just as a little practical observation, I find it interesting and instructive that none of the servants complained about what they had received. Nor did the guy with two say, hey, wait a minute. This ain't fair. How come he gets 5? How come I only get 2? There was none of that. For as I can tell, there was no class warfare here. No envy, no covetousness. Each servant received that talent, and it appears that at least 2 of them were very thankful for it. And it's a lesson for you and I. I think one of the things that's plaguing people in our world is all the marketing is geared toward making you discontent. Never be satisfied, never be content, and if somebody has more than you do, they must have done something really weaselly to get it. And you ought to hate them. I mean, you just hate them. They're not paying their fare. Look how See, that wasn't the way it was here in this parable. None of that. There's too much covetousness in our world today. Instead of thankfulness and gratitude for the talents and the resources that God has been pleased to entrust you with. Now the two faithful servants were so thankful for what the master gave them, they immediately went to work, serving the interests of their gracious master. They were inspired by his grace. They were motivated to work for him. They both were industrious. They were resourceful enough to double the talents that had been given them. Wow, what a worthy, noble goal. The master says, I'm going to give you this. I want you to improve upon it. And they went right to work serving the Lord. If you're saved here this morning, you have been loved with an everlasting love. You've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. You have before you the Word of the living God that is inspired, inerrant, holy, that it tells you how you ought to live. You have been given so many spiritual resources. He's given you all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have been given an inexhaustible amount of spiritual treasure. Are you improving upon it? Are you using it for the glory of God, for the furtherance of His kingdom? Or are you looking at somebody and saying, you know what? I don't like the distribution of that talent. I have to admit, I often wonder why does the Lord give some preachers the ability to sing, write their own music, and then preach good too. I say to myself, Lord, what am I missing here? The fact is, God is sovereign in the distribution of His gifts.
Amen.
Some may have a boatload more than you do, but you are still responsible to make the most of what you've been given. And when you start thinking about all the resources, blessings, talent that God has given you, you owe Him everything. Our response to the distribution of these talents ought to be just like these two servants who went out and served and worked and were industrious. That's the way we ought to be in the kingdom of God. In the Lord's church. We ought to work. We ought to serve. We ought to do things that advance the glory of our King. Not detract from it. Both the faithful servants demonstrated supreme commitment to their master by making the most of what they had, by maximizing their opportunity, whereas the unfaithful servant did nothing with the talent that was given. He buried it. How many people have been given so much in the way of outward goodness and mercy from God, their Creator, and yet they spurn and reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to their own peril? Now, I realize this is dealing specifically with true and false professors, but you think about what you have. If you're lost here today, God has manifested Himself as your Creator. He's given you a conscience. It's like his deputy that tells you when you lie, that makes you feel guilty when you do wrong. He's even blessed you over and above that because you get to hear the gospel message. It's available to you in so many ways, whether you attend this church, whether you hear it on the radio, the internet, maybe watch something on the television where there may be somebody teaching the truth of the gospel. The fact of the matter is, you're without excuse. You might have had a godly mother that shared the scripture with you, that brought you to Sunday school. And by the way, young people, you better thank God for parents that instill virtue and truth and the gospel message, expose you to all that. You see, there are those who have been given general goodness, life and breath and all things, and yet never trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 23, that it's lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified. You've not improved upon God's goodness and His mercy. Now verse 19, you have the reckoning and rewards of these two faithful servants. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents. Saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Here we have the reckoning and rewards of the two faithful servants. In verse 19, notice that after a long time, the Lord will return. We will have to give an account of our service and our motives. Until then, we must make diligent use of the talents, time, resources, graces that the Lord has freely given us. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. In verse 20, the servant honestly tells the Lord what he's done with his talents. And as I was studying this, I thought to myself, now, what could I tell the Lord? When I have to give an account. How have I served? How have I witnessed and been concerned about the souls of men and women, boys and girls? How have I worshipped? Have I come to the house of God and worshiped in spirit and in truth? Have I diligently read the Scriptures and applied them to my life? Have I proved my love for the Savior by obeying His commandments? Have I spoken words of encouragement to those who are downcast? Have I been faithful with the resources He has given me? Have I been faithful in my tithes, in my offerings? How have I been as a parent, as a citizen, start thinking about our personal accountability and what we're going to have to report. What kind of example are you leading? These two gave a great example. And in verse 21, the Lord commends the faithful servant. He gives him commendation. He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He commends their attitude, their character, their obedience. And here's what's amazing. Even though he's the one that had all the capital, gave them what they... I mean, think about it. If you get any rewards, it's only because God gave you the grace to serve Him. For it's God that worketh in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure. It's always amazed me. I'm an unprofitable servant. There's never going to be a time where I can do enough to pay back the purchase price of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's of infinite value. And yet the Lord says, "I'm going to give you a talent. I want you to use it until I come back. And if you'll be faithful, I'm going to reward you." Isn't that amazing? He paid the debt in full. He gave me the grace to love Him, to serve Him. He shed abroad the Holy Ghost in my heart. Enlighten me to the truth of the Word. And for doing what I'm supposed to do as a child of God, He's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But that's not all. He said, "You've been faithful over a few things as a servant. I want to make you a ruler over many things." It's not just commendation for a job well done, for service rendered, and for improving upon the opportunities. No, I'm going beyond that. You're going from being a servant to a ruler. And I believe that when you compare this with the parable of the pounds, it's the positions that we'll occupy in the millennial reign of Christ. It's a reward that we'll receive. So this servant goes from one who's been entrusted with the capital and resources from his Lord, improving upon that, serving the Lord, and now, on top of that, he's going to make him a ruler over many things, and then go beyond even that, entrance into and sharing in the glories and joys of being in the presence of the Lord. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You'll share in the redemption, in the glories of redemption, in the holy presence of the Savior forever and ever and ever. That ought to humble our hearts today. That ought to inspire us today to say, "You know what? I want to do more. I want to serve the Lord in whatever capacity. I want to enter in with joy and not with grief." Now, there are results of wasting your talent. Verses 24 through 30, and we read those. So I'm not, for sake of time, I'm not going to read them again, but in verses 24 and 25, the accounting of the unfaithful servant reveals that he really didn't know the Lord. He called him a hard man. He feared him, feared his punishment. In fact, if you read into it, it's almost like he charges him with being dishonest and unmerciful. That's somebody The two guys that had the five and the two talents that used them for the glory of their Lord, they had a totally different take on who the Lord was. They viewed Him as gracious, generous, benevolent, loving, kind. And that's the way saved people look at the Lord. He's done everything for me. I ought to want to serve Him. But this man did nothing with the opportunity that he had been afforded. And today, if you're lost, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. That's your responsibility. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. You have at least a talent of the common goodness that God has afforded to you. You've heard the gospel. You've heard me say how many times that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You've heard me say over and over again, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. I can't save you. But I can show you the way to be saved through trust in Jesus Christ. You see, this parable teaches us that everybody is going to have to give an account what they did with the opportunities afforded them. And if you're lost, it's going to deal with what He's given you in terms of the general call. Every day creation declares that there is a God that you're accountable to. Some of you have had the honor and privilege of being in a Christian home. You've got access to the Bible. You've heard the gospel preached. You've went to a sound church. And let me tell you something. You are going to be responsible in a greater degree than the heathen in Africa, who have never heard these glorious truths on a regular basis. You are going to be held more responsible, unto whom much is given, much is required. Your punishment will be more severe. Now notice, the Lord doesn't pull any punches whatsoever. There is no political correctness here. He says, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Now, from all outward appearances, the other guys probably didn't think he was wicked. But the Lord knows our hearts. He knows what's inside of us. And by nature, all of us are wicked. All of us deserve judgment. Slothful. That tells me that the Lord knows all of your works, all of your motives. And God will hold you accountable for not doing what He commanded you to do. There will be no excuse. In verse 28, and this will make a socialist's head explode. "Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Take it from the guy that wouldn't improve upon it and give it to the guy that is improving upon it. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." You see, when you die in your sins and you go to hell, there will be no more general mercies, no more kindness, no more prayers offered on your behalf, no scriptures to read, nobody praying for you. You will be cast into outer darkness, in hell, forever and ever and ever. Whatever you had, whatever opportunities you have right now, you'll have them no longer when you die in your sins. Verse 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is a description of the lake of fire. And just because somebody says they don't believe in it, it doesn't change at all the fact that the lake of fire is real. And so today, to those of you that are saved, I urge you to use your talents for the Lord. There's a promise of being rewarded. To those that are lost, take the warning. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You will have to stand before the great white throne of judgment. You will give an account. And this sermon will ring through your ears throughout all eternity. If you die in your sins, you've been given opportunity. You've been given general, common goodness. And the gospel's been preached. If you reject it, you'll have nobody to blame but yourself. Let's all stand.
Page number 88.
Page number 88. We're going to sing.